Hey, what to do? What's up? Me too. I like sports. Plenty. Yeah, plenty of people.
Like, you get in the habit of thinking that the world we live in is the real world.
Yeah.
Until you encounter...
No one cares.
No.
About our world.
Well, it is weird when you meet another grown man your own age that has no interest in sports. I do appreciate it because it lends you to be able to talk about different things, but it is weird. Like, you just assume that everyone's like, oh, man, you watching the playoffs or who's your team? And they just look at you like you got two heads. And then you're like, oh, because it's like the common playoffs. Ground that any man can find. But that's a myth. It's a lie. And then he always feels awkward, like if you're at a party, because then he has this happen to him all the time. And so it's a weird thing.
Do you think those guys feel do they feel inadequate about that?
I don't know.
Or do they look at us? It looked down upon us.
I think probably a little of both.
Sports Neanderthals.
I think they look down, but in a party setting, I think they feel a little left out because when you're at a gathering again, sports is common ground, right? You don't. If you meet someone for the first time...
that is not what my favorite radio host in Portland told me once.
Sports is sports.
Sports is sports.
Sports is sports.
Sports is not common ground.
But if you met
As a
someone...
In fact, it's far from it.
You know the number of times...
We love to argue about sports.
Yeah, but that's still common ground because it's conversation.
Yeah.
The amount of times you have a Kansas City Royals hat that you gave me for when they went to the World Series and they beat a certain team...
The Mets.
But to be fair, the World Series hat that I have is a Kansas City Royals losing World Series
from
hat.
From the Giants.
From the Giants series. Yeah. So it makes me feel a little better.
We went twice.
It makes me feel better about wearing it.
Back to back.
Yeah, I know.
Just letting everyone know. If you guys didn't remember.
Yeah. And the Mets had a lead in every game in that series.
They sure did. Yeah. Didn't win it.
No.
How do you do that? No. You're like the Ravens. Wait.
The hand of God.
By the way, lowercase is in there. First of all, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
We're back. Hey, yeah. The band is back together, yeah. And we've got a new producer, Steven.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Little Stevie, as I like to call him.
Steven's on.
He loves it. He loves being called Stevie.
I'm a big Stevie. Come on now. Get be fair here, Sue. I'm not a little
Well, that's
Stevie.
The whole point.
How tall are you?
6'2".
Yeah.
It's not that tall. I mean, isn't Sue taller than that?
I'm about that.
Aren't you taller than that?
I'm 6'. I
Have
was
you guys
6'.
Done a...
I don't know if we've gone...
The aura of Sook is taller, though.
Yeah.
Well, I was 6'3", but I think I'm shrinking.
Well, I was listed at 6'3", if that, you know,
yeah.
You want to go that
well,
way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm listed at 6', but I'm not 6'.
I was actually 6'3", and then I think over the years, honestly, I think I've lost about half an inch. Like, as we get older, we all shrink.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're a bigger guy, it's even worse.
You shrink a lot
because your spine compresses. So I'm trying to do something like that stretching that stuff out. I guarantee, because you're what, late 30s?
I am 38, yeah.
Yeah, 38.
Whoa, getting up there,
I'm an old
fella.
Man, dude.
Well, and you're not a big fella, but you're not in you don't weigh like what you did when you played basketball.
No.
I guarantee if you had the official measurement from when you played, when you were 19, 20, 21 at Concordia versus now, I guarantee you're a quarter to a half inch shorter than you are.
Interesting. We need to do this.
Yeah, the little like
someone measure me.
Yeah, the fluid and the pads, everything between your spinal column. Just over the years, it kind of just it compresses.
Is there anything lowercase can't do?
I feel like he can do everything.
I think he can. Therefore,
he's a jack of all trades.
Let's go ahead and measure him up, LC.
Get the official measurement.
Tape measure out.
By the way, Steven is our new producer.
Yes,
and he will be here with us on a permanent basis moving forward, short of vacation. Sickness.
Winning the lottery.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm out if that happens.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
Well,
we
know this.
Yeah. No one, I mean.
So, welcome.
That goes without saying. Yeah. Although the Powerball is only at $85 million right now, so no one's playing it. Because
not even
well,
worth playing.
$80 million. I like to wait until it's really worth my time.
It's got to be at least $200 million now. Minimum.
I will say that I am terrible about that. Like, I buy, like, maybe 4 Powerball tickets a year, and it's always when... The jackpot gets...
When everybody's playing.
Yeah, to some sort of ridiculous number. But I'll drive by it every day and I see the billboard and it's like $72 million. I'm like, whatever. not wasting my $2 on that. $210, what? You'd be a fool not to buy it.
Well, lowercase and I were talking about this while you were away, but I believe the Powerball billboard is the single best use of a billboard
100%.
On Earth.
It is the most effective advertising known to man.
And my kids even said something last time we drove by. They're like, $1 billion? Yeah. Why aren't you playing, Dad?
Just big red numbers that updates in real time. Yeah. It's perfect. Yeah. Like, there's no other billboard that has that effect.
No.
Besides, like, the Lawhawk in Vegas.
What was the... I'm trying to think of the best one I saw. Because some of those billboards are so absurd. The personal injury ones. There was a guy in Vegas that had one. Something, I'll have to think about it. But I remember seeing it and just being like, my God, and it was enormous. Because the bigger the billboard, apparently the tougher you are.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
We've got Steven over there. If he were to grow an afro, he would be taller than you.
Well, that's the Fletch thing, right?
But if you were to grow an afro, you would be taller than him.
And yet we're both bald.
Right.
Yeah.
So right now.
Who's more likely?
Dude, yeah, if I could, I don't know about you, I would have big hair.
I would have any hair.
Yeah. Well, I can't say that. Have you seen Brian Urlacher's hair?
The fake stuff?
Yeah, I don't want Brian Urlacher's hair.
The cul-de-sac, too. I can't do the cul-de-sac, but like if it's any type of normal hair,
yeah,
I would take it.
I see, that's, again, it's a fine line because, again, Urlacher has hair, and some hair transplant looks great. Like Matthew McConaughey, Tom Brady, looks like $1 million. And you see Urlacher, and you're like, ooh.
He needs a new hair guy.
Ooh, yeah, he's new hair guy. Oh, believe me, I've looked into that, and like, I'm not a good candidate because there's like nothing up there. Yeah, like it can supplement, but you do reach a line of demarcation where you can't, like,
you that, got the beard though.
That's all I got.
See, I can't even do that.
You can't
so
do
I'm
it?
Just hairless.
Yeah. Wow.
You're like Charlie Villanueva over there. Just smooth.
You know, you kind of look like John Canzano.
Well, I did work for the guy.
Yeah.
Am I gonna start looking like you, Rob?
Is that one of those things where if you work with someone for too long,
you just morph into them?
Yeah, you morph.
Was that the owner and the dog thing, right? People say like if after a while people say that owners and dogs start to look alike.
Right.
Yeah. How long did you work?
Yeah,
over
I
there?
Don't know if I bought it.
It was like 3.5 years. If I was there another year, I'd be exactly
enough,
like him.
Enough time to got a talented Mr. Ripley sort of situation there. And go to Italy with him.
Well, anyway, guys who don't know anything about sports are puzzling to Neanderthals like us.
Yes.
But it's also kind of cool.
Yeah. I enjoy it. If I'm at a party and I had my choice between meeting non-sports guy or super sports guy, I will take non-sports guy.
Yeah, but that's because of what we do.
True.
And like, if we didn't do this, we'd probably cozy up to sports guy and just talk some sports. Because we don't have a four-hour show every day to disseminate super hot takes.
But I don't know what that, because I don't know what that's like. This has been my entire life. My entire life, sports guy wants to talk sports.
I think it would be, well, yeah, but you don't like that because you talk sports for a living. What I'm saying is, if you didn't talk sports for a living, you would love the sports talk.
I didn't like it when I played and I didn't talk sports. Same thing.
I don't know. I think you'd like it. Mm. But there's no way to know.
Yeah.
Unless you quit. Or got fired.
Or win the lottery.
Which is probably coming. So.
Yeah. Goes without saying.
Steven, you'll be here for a good 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Everything will change.
All right.
Welcome to Odyssey.
Oh, man.
Someone saying the Club 205 A-Crop Sassy's billboard. Pretty cool, too.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. See, it's not effective.
Yeah, it's
I don't know what you
mean. No, I mean, look.
I mean, are there tatas up there?
No, I don't think so. But it's still not. Like, the Powerball billboard. Or the Powerball billboard.
Yeah, there's nothing close.
No, it's not even, yeah.
Because it's really effective.
We've all driven by and seen the big, like, A-Crop sign or whatever. And you may get it like, oh.
I haven't seen that. Where is that?
It's just right. It's right there.
By the A-Crop?
Yeah, by the A-Crop. Which, again.
Well, why?
I know. It just lets you know it's there.
That's
as if
like
these
running promos for our show on our show.
Back to back. It doesn't make you pull.
It happened on Friday, by the way.
Did it?
It doesn't make you pull
Maybe
in.
Thursday.
It makes you aware of it. But you're not immediately like, oh, my God, I have to pull over. The Powerball, at a certain point, makes you like, well, I better go
like
get
you
my...
have to go
yes!
pull, you have to go yeah. get a ticket. Yeah.
Well, it becomes top of mind.
Yeah.
They instantly just, hey, don't forget about us. Yeah. Oh, no, by the way, it's $1.1 billion.
I can't think of another billboard that gets me to act
exactly
quite like the Powerball billboard.
You're doing great.
Yeah. It's the Jared Goff of billboards apparently in my world.
Well, we got a big week here, guys.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
We do?
Well, Oregon's in the semifinals of the college football playoff.
Yeah, no show Friday.
Yeah, we don't have a show on Friday.
I love no show Friday.
Another short week.
I know.
This is a rough job.
This grind, this 4 hours for 4 days. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it's great to be back.
We got playoffs?
Playoffs.
Playoffs. They're set.
It's a short but jam-packed week of sports content.
Yes.
And by the way, let's give some love to Lowercase, who has somehow come in here, waltzed in here as an intern or like a part-time guy,
yeah,
and trained our new producer. I don't know how that happened,
yeah,
but it did.
Yeah.
He was kind of the only guy, yeah, around. And so he's trained Steven. Lowercase is still here. He's watching over Steven with his watchful eye.
I'm still not certain how all of this works, but I kind of am here for it.
Yeah, it's great.
Have you had to teach someone something that you don't know how to do?
That's a good question.
Like, the closest thing I can think of
is... Well, sometimes people ask for golf tips or something.
But you're a good golfer.
I am, but but what applies to me doesn't necessarily apply to you. Like, I could maybe try to help you, but chances are you'd be like, what the hell is
he
talking
about? See, that was where I thought of, because I was trying to scan my brain, and my son, I was like... I'm like, he wants to go to the driving range. I have to be the one to instruct him. And that feels a little bit like Lowercase instructing
you,
Casey.
You probably get it with like gambling. Like if someone that doesn't know how to gamble, they're like, hey, how do I bet on a basketball game?
Yeah,
like
we get that sometimes.
And so it's like, you know, you're not a professional gambler,
right?
But you could teach.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't really know what you're doing.
I'm not going to lie. If the choice came down between Lowercase teaching me how to work the board or you showing me some golf tips, mm-hmm, I'm not going to lie, brother. You're showing me those golf tips.
All right. Oh, like, Lowercase.
Wait a minute. I went to college.
I think what he's saying is it's not that hard.
Casey, here's I'm going to tell you this. I have seen Rot play golf many, many a time. And I've seen you work the board many, many a time.
Uh-oh.
The look of panic on Casey's face, I'm going to say 7 times per show. I've never seen that look once on Rot's face while golfing. Therefore, I'm going to side with, given the choice between the two, and again, not saying that you can't play golf, not saying that you can't run a board. I'm asking myself, which one do I feel more confident instructing me? I'm going with Rob.
It could just be Casey's face, too. Just his face.
It's just his, yes. He does have general being.
Well, he's got a little Pete Davidson, this kind of like, aw, shucks, like, ah. Like,
he does.
Casey looks like he's in a state of perpetual shock, and maybe that's what it is. But
he's also 24 years old. And oh, but he's just young. Like I think that's just it. Like if he had been here for as long as Swigard,
then
we would have no problem.
Well, that's true.
That's the whole
point. You've been playing golf longer.
That I have. That I have. And by the way, somebody is in on the text line about the behind the lottery billboard.
Yeah.
The firm second place is a Loves or any travel center billboard on a road trip. They come in handy.
Mm.
They're very clutch. Mm. That's right.
Interesting.
That's right. Mm. How many times do you're driving and you... I guess now with GPS, it maybe is rendered a little bit.
But you're like, ooh.
But you're like, beacon. I don't know how far the next gas station is. Yeah. I don't know what's coming up. We need a place to pee. We need a place to eat.
That's
I don't know what to do. And then you see the Love
7 mile
travel center.
Dude, you're on.
Those are effective billboards.
That is a good billboard.
And maybe the Jesus billboards.
I'm going like, you know what? I am a piece of crap, and Jesus does save.
Yeah.
I don't know what category to put this in, but I want to ask you this, because I can't be the only one. It is the most effective, but also the worst billboard simultaneously at the same time. If you're going down I-5 and you're heading into the Couv, and I've driven by this, and it's now been like 4 different versions of it.
So if you're going down I-5 heading into Vancouver?
Yeah. I'm in Portland. I'm going to the Couv. So
you're
I'm going
north.
I'm going north on I-5.
Not down.
Yeah. I guess that would be up.
You're doing great.
You're right.
Sports is sports.
Sports is sports. And north is south, and south is north. So you're driving up
I-5. Sports is sports.
Right there at Jansen Beach, there's that big sign. And for a while, it was Eat Now at Waddles. And then it became then it became Hooters.
Yeah.
And now it's a chicken place.
It's a spot, like a hot chicken place.
Yeah, and every time I see it, I have noticed that billboard more than maybe any other billboard in my life. And I'm always like, oh, yeah, I should go there. Guess what? Never been once. Never went to Waddles. Haven't been to that chicken place.
You never went to Waddles?
No.
Waddles was great.
But
Waddles was great, yeah.
Every time I drive by, it's now the Chicken Palace. Every time
you
say,
don't want to go in there.
I say out loud, I want to go to the Chicken Palace.
No, you don't.
And I've never been.
Well, you don't need to.
It's a great billboard, and yet it never gets me to act, but it gets me to notice it every time.
Hot take on this.
Yeah.
When
you know the billboard that I'm speaking of.
Well, yeah, everybody does, because I know it because of Waddles.
Yeah, yeah.
And Waddle, my hot take on this is that Waddles was a standalone kind of local place.
Yes.
That made it interesting.
Sure.
That was like, ooh, what is Waddles? And then anybody that went into Waddles loved Waddles.
Yeah.
Waddles was great.
Yeah.
Hooters, it's a chain.
Yeah.
So I know that's a Hooters. I can read this. I don't need this
big
sign.
It's just like the A-Crop sign.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting.
I see it written on the building.
Yeah.
this being some random chicken place.
A chicken palace, please.
It's not, it doesn't have the same effect as a Waddle's because it just appears to be a chain.
But do we
that's
know?
Trying to lure me in. That's not going to work. What is going to work is a local place like Waddle's saying, hey, I'm pretty interesting. I'm a one-off. I'm only right here. Check me out.
I'm asking the question. Do we know that JB's Chicken Palace, do we know that that's not homegrown? Have you ever seen
it? I don't know, but see, this is my assumption.
It's home of the Glen Fry, by the way.
What's it called?
It's called JB's Chicken Palace, and I think it's the palace and the billboard that get my attention, and yet I never go. And now I've looked it up, and they're home of the Glen Fry. Hand-breaded, crispy, fried chicken thigh tossed in JB's spicy sauce.
Yeah, he's dead, though.
Is that a chain, or is that a local?
Let me look.
I just don't know. But the damn sign, every day, I drive by it every day, audibly out loud. And why have I never bothered to pull over?
Because it doesn't look interesting, like Waddle's
then
did.
Then why does it get my attention?
Well, the real estate of the sign. Yeah, the real estate of the sign is excellent. Because I'm with you, Suk. I drive by it and I say, man, that looks good.
Right?
But I would never go in because I assume, like Rob, it is not local spot.
And it's kind of hard to get because like,
what we're learning is
tucked away.
These signs, it depends on what you're advertising. It's not always about the location. It depends on what is being
like
disseminated.
Powerball, I want to win a lot of money. I want to go eat at a local chicken spot, not at some national chain that I know what is going to be.
That's my whole point. Mm. That's why the Waddle sign worked and JB's Chicken did not. And Hooters did not.
No one should have ever gone to that Hooters. That was the most depressing place in Oregon.
That one specifically?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I had like an hour to kill once on a New Year's Eve, and it was like the only place that was open around there. Everything closes on New Year's Eve, like really early. And I had to kill from like 8 to 9. So I was like, oh, Hooters is open. And I went in. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That is the most depressing place I've ever been to of all time. Like, I walked out of there, like, glad that I didn't have any rope or something in my car. I was like, my God.
So, JB's is a chain. It is owned by Emergent Hospitality Group. They also own Little Big Burger and Pizza Rev.
That's disappointing.
And that's why.
That's why.
See, we know these things as we're driving by the sign. We just feel it.
Inherently,
like,
we know.
It's like, that looks, oh, JB. Uh-huh. Chain, not going.
You're smart. You're really smart, Suk. That's what we figured out here. You can figure that all in your mind right at the time.
I'll tell you what, though. The fact that it's Palace, it gets my attention. I'm like, ooh, Chicken Palace. Like, if that was just like JB's Chicken, I wouldn't think anything about it. But when you add Palace, I'm like,
whoa. Fancy. It sounds very fancy.
Chicken Palace.
You kind of like whatever it is you like.
Got to make it easier to get to, though.
More wise words from Jason Sikin. Well, Jansen Beach, no one really. Does anyone ever go to Jansen?
No.
There was a time when Jansen Beach, it's like, all right, let's stop up. You know, there's no reason to go there unless you have a floating home over there and need to shop at Safeway or something.
It's a weird area.
Like, why would you go there? There's a Home Depot.
To get a Chicken Palace. To go to the Chicken Palace.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. So. There we are.
Waddle's, yes. Chicken
by the
Palace?
Way, no. Waddle's, there was another bar. Do you remember the name of the other bar that was by Waddle's? We used to go in there after
was
work.
Was that Damon's, those little sports
no,
bar
it wasn't
over there?
Damon's.
Because Damon's was over there.
Damon's was, but that's a chain. This was a little local place.
I don't remember. I remember we went to Waddle's a lot. We played at Heron Lakes. Like when I was a kid with my dad and my uncle, we'd go to Waddle's afterwards.
Waddle's. Yeah. All right, well, we can already determine that Steven is going to be terrible at keeping us on the clock. That was basically two full segments. Dusty's in there. He's pissed off. Lowercase doesn't know what's happening. All hell's breaking loose, and it's a short week. Yeah. We've got to start with the NFL playoffs, and we'll do that next on The Fan. Hey, the Ducks are in the college football semifinals. The game is Friday right here on The Fan, and we will talk about it a lot this week. I texted back and forth with Joey today. He's good to come on Thursday. So Joey Harrington will move up a day, talk to him. We'll have a lot of Duck Talk coming up. We're going to get into the NFL playoffs, but the most important thing that no one, and I mean literally no one, cares about would be the new producer Steven versus Big Suk height off.
Little Stevie versus Big Suk.
The measure off. And the winner is, we found a tape measure.
Yeah.
Or as you would call it, a tape measurer.
One of my proudest moments on this program.
And the winner is, it's a tie! Yeah. You guys are both 6'3".
75 inches.
That's wild. Although I do think Steven might be a little taller because he has a pointy head and you have a flatter head.
Yeah. I'm going to start growing out some top hair. I'm going to grow out like three, like my little unicorn.
You just need a little.
Just a little point.
Who is the Martin Short character?
That was Ed Grimley, I think it was.
Ed Grimley?
Yeah.
You need the Ed Grimley hair.
I must say. Well, I do have the only hair on my head is that weird. I have like a weird little spot that grows like it's a horn like in front. That's the only hair that's on top of my head.
Well, guys, I guess we should start with last night before we move forward, because
the only time I believe that God has actually interfered in a football game.
You think so?
I am always.
You think that was the Lord?
I am offended. It really bothers me when people claim that God, you know, we won because of God. No, you didn't. Just did give you a
tip. Well, now you're about to claim they won because of God?
Yes. This is the like the exception that proves the rule. God doesn't care whether you win or lose, so please spare me. God didn't make you fumble, and he didn't score you a touchdown for you. That is the most self-righteous, douchey thing that we do. You know, how did you guys win the game? Well, the Lord provided a way. No, he didn't. God doesn't care. If that's the case, Notre Dame, BYU, and Baylor would win a lot of titles and not Alabama. But I believe that God, or possibly Tom Cruise, some sort of otherworldly entity, had a role in that game.
Why?
It's the only thing that makes sense.
What? Just because of how wild it was? Well, that was a great game.
They did have a priest.
Yes.
No, some holy water on the field.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
he's right.
I believe.
Did you see that video?
I did see it.
Before
yes.
the game, a priest was
laying down
doing
some,
what
laying down
did.
Some holy water. Yeah. And was it Boswell, isn't that his name, the Steelers kicker?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That guy hasn't missed an extra point in 4 years.
I know.
And he kicked it. That thing was going dead straight. And then like angels in the outfield, a hand of God, or in this case, I think the devil. I think he sold his soul to the devil. Someone did from the Ravens. And that ball just... he could try kicking that same ball 100 times and that's not going to happen. Going dead on straight and then in the span of like 4 yards, hard right hand turn at Albuquerque. And I believe at that point, we all like it was over. And then here the Ravens come back down. And at that point, I do believe that that priest, the holy water, I think that was a battle between good and evil. And I do believe that God intervened and made the Ravens kicker Lot or Loot, whatever.
I think his name's Loop. Is that right?
I thought it was a T. Is it
Loop.
P? Loop.
Taylor Loop.
Then yes.
Tyler.
God,
Tyler Loop.
God at that point, I believe, said, this is unfair. Evil spirits are at work. Not today, Tom Cruise. And he intervened and he made that kick. Made him shank that.
The problem with your argument is going back to the first part of your... rant there.
Yeah.
And that is, what about me? God affected me, right? Like, so everybody, it's not just about one person. Everybody has a hand in these games.
Yeah.
I believe that God did that, if he did that, because he wanted me to lose even more money on the effing Baltimore Ravens.
It's insane.
God!
That game.
I had a money line, by the way.
First off, it was a terrible game. It wasn't well played at all. But my God, was the last like quarter and a half just bananas.
It was great.
I was just sitting there on my couch, and at least 4 times I said, what the blank, out loud.
The NFL is just great theater.
Yes.
It doesn't even have to be great football. It's the best reality show on television, and that did not disappoint. It had it all.
Yeah.
It had it all. And in the end, the Ravens gonna raven. And I cannot believe how Lamar Jackson must feel.
Yeah.
If you think about all of his big sort of big losses, like the Bills.
And there's the
last
many of
year,
them.
This one this year.
He's had one to Kansas City. I mean, they've had disappointing ends to all their seasons.
And it's rarely his fault.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Mark Andrews drops a ball.
Mm-hmm.
Kicker misses a
Flower fumbles.
Yeah, Zay Flower. Exactly. He was making plays. And he was not right.
No.
He still does not look right.
No, the whole year's been rough.
He's been weird. But he was making plays right and left.
Yes.
In the fourth quarter of that football game.
Yeah.
And he did everything he needed to do to get his team in position and maybe just right all these wrongs. Like, they screwed up last year. They screwed up this year.
And
they were going to get into the playoffs. They were going to host a playoff game. It's, you know, everybody's getting healthy. It's like, okay, this is, you teed it up. Lamar teed it up. And the damn kicker. That guy's been good all year, too.
And Collinsworth was the ultimate jinx. He's like they interviewed every one of these kickers and they settled on Loop because they believed he had the right stuff for these sorts of moments. The moment Collinsworth said that, you're sitting there like, oh, he's
wasn't that Tirico?
No, I thought it was Collinsworth.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was one of them. But yeah, he hadn't missed a kick like inside 50 yards all year.
And they're talking
now,
about.
Do we think lowercase had to change his shorts for that?
I did talk to him
today.
He's
a Steelers fan.
And he said that it was
Was there a cardiac arrest? He's only 24.
It was a white knuckle sort of moment, obviously.
He experienced one of the greatest sports feelings. Lowercase.
The roller coaster of emotion.
Well, yeah, when you think you're dead, like you, it is the worst feeling when a huge game and you think your team has lost. Aaron Rodgers even was over there shaking his head like, I don't know. I mean,
this is it. This is how I go out.
And then
I was in public and I had to take a few steps outside just to make sure I composed myself.
Were you watching the game? Where were you watching the game?
I was watching it at a local bar with my family.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah. So you
those terrible towels.
Yeah. They made the kick and you had to leave?
That entire drive, I was taking just a few minutes. As soon as Likely had the catch, I walked right outside,
took a big sigh,
and then came back in.
By the way, how about that? That's the other one.
And then watched the kick, right? Yeah. So
Real quick, Likely, who has been on the wrong end of way too many, I'm almost a hero, and yet nothing happens. He finally gets to be the hero.
Well, he caught the game winner in the first game.
He made such
They called it back.
They called it back, right? He's always just a quarter of an inch off. He makes just this amazing catch, and you're like, cool. He finally gets to be the hero. Wrong. Shankopotamus.
Dude.
Again, the priest blessing the field, it's the only explanation is somehow God hates the Ravens. And he's I didn't know God was a Steelers fan, but apparently he is.
I don't know of another way I think the Ravens have lost a game and blown a game in every which way possible.
Well, I always thought the Chargers, they're the most creative in finding ways to lose. It's not.
Not anymore.
No, not in these big moments.
Move over.
It belongs to the Ravens.
Brandon Staley. Here comes John Harbaugh.
Lamar Jackson is a 2-time MVP, should be 3-time MVP. As talented a player to ever play that position, and yet his legacy is going to be these games.
Might I also ask? Well, he's still got time to write. I mean, you get one, and the narrative completely changes.
Exactly.
So,
did you watch any of the Elway stuff?
The Elway documentary.
Yeah,
no, I haven't watched it.
Yeah, because he deals with.
He
that.
Talks about that.
It's actually really.
He had that for years.
It's really good.
Peyton Manning had that.
Yeah, because it talks about the collapse of his family and how he was okay with it because.
Well, he hates his family.
Well, look, it makes it abundantly clear, and they bring on his ex-wife, and they talk about how he had to make a choice between family and football, and it wasn't much of a choice.
Like Tom's braids.
Yeah. And that way, kind of like, he doesn't shy away from it either. It's like, choices, man. Two Super Bowls,
Well,
bitches.
He got him a Super Bowl. You think he regrets it?
Got him two.
Yeah. You think he regrets that?
No, I don't.
What was I going to say? Oh, last thing on Ravens-Steelers. Why did it take the entire Ravens team in order to tackle one Steelers player? Like, what was that? What was I watching? I get that Kyle Hamilton got hurt.
Sure.
And it seemed like every other play a Raven was getting hurt.
Yes.
They do a terrible job of telling us who is back in and who isn't.
Yeah.
By the way, they do a terrible job of it.
I agree with that across all broadcasts.
Yeah. It's like, that guy got hurt.
Yeah. What happened to him?
I can't see all the numbers. Is he in there or not? I can tell if Kyle Hamilton. Well, I mean, they told us a million times. Yeah. Kyle Hamilton was out,
and it was a big deal.
It was a big deal. But why did the Ravens can't, like, they could not tackle?
I will tell you this: as painful as that is for Ravens fans, they did not deserve to win that game.
No.
They do not deserve to be in the postseason.
They really don't.
And if we're talking disappointments this year, you flip a coin. Kansas City. So I mean. Man. Kansas City or Baltimore, dude, flip a coin. But the fact that neither one of those teams made the postseason, I don't know which one you want to say is a bigger disappointment.
KC's pretty disappointing.
I think it's the Ravens, but
you know
I'm
what's going to happen? And I think you talked about this. What's going to happen is we're only going to remember that Patrick Mahomes got hurt.
Yeah.
We're not going to remember that Kansas City was actually kind of trash before he got hurt.
Yes.
So I don't want to blame the Kansas City downfall, at least for this season, on just Mahomes getting hurt. They were not good.
No, when he got hurt, the season was over anyways.
The offense has been bad the last couple of years for the Chiefs.
Yeah. And the defense kind of fell off, but the Ravens...
And the Ravens had a bunch of injuries.
Still.
But they got healthy, and they got right, and they still looked bad.
They had the Ravens have had at least a half a dozen moments this year where we said the Ravens are going to be fine, they're back, and then... God. they show you they're not. And and this is where I draw those two comparisons. We never wanted to believe that Kansas City was done until they were done. There was always a belief that they were going to flip a switch, and they had given you no real indication, yet you didn't want to write them off. And the Ravens were the same way. We kept having faith in the Ravens because of who they are. And the reality is, again, they're a sub 500 football team that hasn't been good all year, that at one point we had the worst defense in the NFL. They righted the ship. Something was going on with Lamar. Their offensive game plan, no one can seem to figure out at any given time. Let's not forget that one. The worst game plan in the history of the postseason where they decided to not run the ball.
I have a caveat, though.
Yeah.
Can I at least give, because that was Monken.
Yes.
Who had that game against Kansas City, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He's still their OC.
Yes.
That play they ran, and it wasn't the, I think it was like the touchdown to take the 17-13 lead or whatever.
Yeah.
One where Zay Flowers. Dude, that was a great play.
Yes, it was.
And that's Monken.
Yes.
So I just wanted to give him.
Give him some credit.
You know, he takes a lot of heat. Yes. I wanted to give him credit. That was amazing. Yeah. It wasn't just Lamar making a play. That was a great design.
It was. But anyway. Too many times this year, and might I point to the blowout loss to the Cincinnati Bengals, finding ways to gack away games against the Patriots. Like, yep. They just.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Ravens.
Yeah,
because I think the Chiefs towards the end still were in it. They were kind of pulling in Eagles, yeah. Right? Like they're not the same, but you still have Reed and Mahomes, and you still have a pretty good defense. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, they're not as dynamic as they used to be, but never count them out. Get in the tournament and watch out for the Chiefs. Right? Yeah. That was the Chiefs.
Yes,
but then they lost that game to. It was the same game Mahomes got hurt. Which game was it?
It was the last game of the year the last game where they were.
They had to win that game.
Yeah, they had to win it and they lost. I don't remember off the top of my head who it was against, but.
Yeah. But so I'm going to say they were right there, even though disappointing. Ravens were a mess all year.
It's brutal.
And it's, so they're more disappointing. Yeah.
And I don't know if regime change is coming or not, but dude, they,
do you think it needs to? Real quick, really, really, really fast. John Harbaugh fired, yay or nay?
No, but if they did it, I would understand why. This has a smell of when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got rid of Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy was a really good coach, and the Buccaneers were a really good team. They needed a fresh voice, and John Gruden came in, and John Gruden led him to a Super Bowl. I'm starting to think that a fresh set of pipes in that room might do that team some good.
I agree. All right, the bracket is set. Seahawks are the number one seed in the NFC. We'll get to that next, but first, here's Stephen with SportsCenter. Hi. You're supposed to say, I'm a balloon, bye.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
It's not a video.
Sorry, I was reading text.
Hi, I'm a balloon, bye.
An homage to the great Mike Lynch.
Yes, he's missed.
We are now two. He is missed. We are now two producers clear of Mike Lynch.
Yeah, yeah. Wait.
Yeah, right?
No, we're one. We're one.
Well, him and Buck.
Yeah, but that's not two removed. We're one removed.
True. You know, I tried to be right about that.
I was like, wait, did I miss a producer in there?
We're one producer removed.
Buckley tried to reach out to me the other day, and I told him he was dead to me.
Yeah, well, he is dead.
Yeah, I was like, whatever, Buckley.
Yeah, we don't talk to him anymore.
No,
he left us.
Jerk.
We got Steven now. We moved on to big, tall, bald guys.
Move on to big, little Stevie.
So the bracket is set. The NFL playoffs.
Yes.
Here's the rundown. So your Seahawks are the number one seed in the NFC.
With one of the best defensive performances I've ever seen in a meaningful game.
Okay.
Dude, that was...
We're going to get sidetracked again.
I know. Well, let's...
But that's okay.
Let's do the bracket.
Yeah, we'll get to the bracket. Okay. Let's wrap up Seahawks Niners.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about the...
Playoffs.
How the bracket lays out.
Yeah.
That game was... Was that game not the NFL version of Oregon-Texas Tech?
Yes. Yes.
That's exactly what
both offenses a little, both defenses very good, but one defense was just beyond suffocating.
See, I didn't think the Niners defense was that good. I thought that they bowed up in...
Some of that was bad offense.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought that they bowed up in certain spots.
Sure.
But the Seahawks were running all over
them. In the first half, especially, Seattle just... couldn't stop being Seattle, and that's what they do. And then the second half, some of that I think they were playing close to their vest. Some of it I don't think that they really trust Sam Darnold to not make a mistake, and it was like, as long as we don't make mistakes, the Niners can't do anything against us. So Seattle wasn't necessarily bad. I just think this is kind of what Seattle is, where they're going to lean on the defense. And Oregon, by the way, to your point, Oregon's done this a bunch this year. Iowa, Wisconsin, where it's just like, hey, we're leaning on the defense and we need the offense to not make big mistakes and come up with some timely stuff.
I'm okay with that.
Sure.
When you say not make big mistakes, realize they are – actually, this is a fun fact. Do you want a fun sports fact?
Yeah, give me the fun
fact. You're on the sports show today?
Yeah.
The Seahawks are the one seed in the NFC and the Broncos the one seed in the AFC. When is the last time? Now, I don't know the answer to this.
Okay. But it's a fun stat that we don't know.
Well, there's a stat, but I don't know the year.
Okay.
The last time the two number one seeds in the NFL playoffs had negative turnover differential. I don't know when that was, but I'm sure it was a long-ass time ago.
Yes.
So it's the Seahawks and the Broncos, both with negative turnover differential. Yeah. So what you're saying about don't make the big mistake, the Seahawks turn it over. I mean, they just do. And that is what's scary. Now, they didn't
turn it over in this game.
Well, the Niners' defense has no pass rush.
No.
So Darnold was pretty comfortable all night. And they were running the ball all over them. And they're dropping like flies again.
Yeah.
So Darnold really didn't get forced into the sort of situations where we've seen bad Sam Darnold. That's the thing. This is what I'm cautioning about Seattle. Seattle's defense is freaking dynamite. Mm-hmm. It really is, and I want to at some point talk to you about how they rival the Legion of Boom because they look that good.
Yeah.
But the Seahawks, that Niners defense sucks. The Bears went all up and down the field on them, and the Seahawks are doing the same, and they still only came up with 13 points.
Well, but some of that, too, is that there just isn't anyone left on the Niners' defense, and they lost a couple more bodies during that game.
For whatever reason, I'm just saying, we think of the Niners as a stout defense because of Robert Saleh.
And they're not.
They're just not. No. Did you watch that?
Yeah.
They're playing their ass off.
They're held together with duct tape.
Yes, they do not. Yeah. They just suck. Like, I think the Eagles, well, we can get into the playoffs. I just think that the Niners defense is just really bad. And the Seahawks were not, they only scored 13 points. That's what scares me about the Seahawks. Now, can they ride the defense all the way? Sure.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is when you get the Packers, or if you get the Packers, or when you play the Rams again, or when you play the Eagles for sure, or when you play, who else is in there that they could play? Blip, blip, they could get two home games. They could play Chicago. Well, maybe not Chicago. Their defense kind of sucks. But I'm saying the defenses that they're going to face in the playoffs are not going to be as bad as the Niners.
Yeah, Panthers, Rams, Eagles, Niners, Bears, Packers. That's your NFC squad that they could.
Yeah, so the Bears don't have a very good defense.
No.
See, I'd be rooting for the Bears I'm a Seahawks.
I think the two that would probably, if you're going to get worried about something, it's going to be the Rams and it's going to be the Eagles.
Well, yeah.
I don't think the Bears, Packers, Panthers, or Niners, I don't think they scare you at all.
Well, the Niners don't.
No. No, not this version of them. I think if San Francisco...
Niners ain't getting out of Philly.
I wouldn't think
they're
so.
They're just not. They're not where they... No. I mean, they have Kyle Shanahan, they have Brock Purdy. It's just...
Well, and the other one, too, I saw that, like, Brock Purdy, you know, with the exception of, like, remember Brock Purdy had, like, that 5-interception game? Like, Brock Purdy is a really good quarterback. And someone put it up, they put up, like, Brock Purdy's, I think, 5 worst games. 4 of them are against Mike McDonald. Like, Mike McDonald's defense causes Brock Purdy problems. The other kind of impressive one is San Francisco plays heavy personnel pretty much all because they don't have any receivers. They just don't. So they play a lot of 12. They play a lot of 13 personnel, 2 tight ends, 3 tight ends. So they ran heavy personnel, 2 or 3 tight ends, almost 60% of the time in this game. Do you know how many snaps that the Seahawks played that weren't diamond nickel? The entire game. So think about it. 60% of the time, the Seahawks or the 49ers were in big personnel. And the Seahawks played nickel or dime on every snap except how many?
2.
0.
Damn it.
They didn't play one snap that wasn't nickel or dime. If you want to talk about an ass-kicking and a defense, a modern defense that has been built to hunt, you mentioned the Legion of Boom, it is this, that you can play a heavy run-first team. And by the way, they held the Niners to less than 3 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. And they did that out of nickel and dime? You're not supposed to be able to do that. The whole reason you go into heavy personnel like the Niners do and like what the Bills do is to force teams out of nickel, to force them certainly out of dime, and force you to play heavier personnel that you can expose. But when you can play with six DBs and one linebacker and hold a team to 3 yards, less than 3 yards a carry, there's nothing you can do if you're the 49ers. At that point, you are literally fighting your dad.
Trent Williams is out.
Yes. Ricky Pearsall
was out. Like, they're playing with one hand tied behind their back. Yeah. And Seattle knew it.
Yeah.
You know, the last time, they said it on the broadcast, the last time the Niners had no rushing first downs in a game. Did you hear them say that?
No, I didn't hear that.
1969. They didn't have one first down rushing.
And I'll tell you what, too, from Jennings on down, after that first quarter, no one in that Niner lineup wanted to get hit. It wasn't like the Seahawks were just tackling people. That was old Cam Chancellor sending messages. Those were heat-seeking missiles, and the Niners were short-arming balls because they did not want to get hit.
Yeah, all I'm saying is we're going to overreact to that.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't, because the Niners are just a shell of what they...
Yes, and the Seahawks offense is terrifying, and they don't trust Sam Darnold. But at the same time, point differential,
Hey. Well, they've beaten six playoff teams.
Yes.
The Seahawks.
And they have a point differential of 190.
Yeah.
Well, actually, 191. Like, the Rams have a point differential of 172. Look, the Seahawks are not a great team. It is a great defense. They are not a great team. But in this playoff field, I don't think there is a great team. So, why not Seattle?
Well, why not Seattle, Sam Darnold, when he plays a good defense? Then that's where I'm sticking with this. I don't think either one seed is going to be in the Super Bowl. But we'll get to it. The bracket is out. We'll get to that next on The Fan. One more thing about Seahawks, Niners. Did you see that stat they showed about Kyle Shanahan? That he is 1-38 when trailing by 7 or more entering the fourth quarter?
I did see that, which seems
so... Is that not
so
puzzling?
Yeah, that is puzzling, because he's one of the great offensive minds, and he wasn't even a head coach, but he was responsible for that Falcons offense that blew the 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, just... you would 7 or more. Some of those games, he's probably getting blown out.
Sure. But
being down a touchdown, you've never won. Yeah. Well, they've won one.
Yeah.
He's won one.
It's so strange.
1-38.
He does get criticized sometimes for being a little, how would you say, like, early on, the play sheet when everything's scripted, like, the man's a genius. And then he does get some criticism for not evolving as the game goes on. But, look, Kyle Shanahan, this is one of the best coaching jobs that you'll see in the NFL this year. And I get it. Everyone gets criticism, and Shanahan's come close, but... Again, I'd point out, if I forget who the receiver is, but the Jimmy Garoppolo ball in the end zone, like, if that is 8 inches closer, Shanahan has a Super Bowl. If their right guard and tackle aren't complete morons in that game against the Chiefs and just pick up a basic stunt, he's got 2 Super Bowls. So, you know, I understand that Shanahan gets some criticism, but that is one of the best coaches in the NFL. And the job he has done with this MASH squad... to even be in the position. Think about the injuries that they have had. No Brandon Ayuk. Pearsall's been in and out of the lineup all year. Kittle in and out of the lineup all year. Trent Williams just got hurt.
Purdy was hurt.
Yeah, Purdy was hurt for 5 games. Their 3 best defensive linemen, all out. The best linebacker in football, all out.
Yep.
And yet they were in it. I mean, if Purdy doesn't throw the one interception that gets tipped,
it's true.
That's a 1-score game. And so... That is, I get Mike McDonald should be coach of the year if you want to say Vrabel, but I'm saying the best coaching job this year in the NFL was Kyle Shanahan.
The one guy that stayed healthy was McCaffrey. He's been out a couple of years when they've been not as good.
I mean, they've done it with Tungus and, you know, whoever the hell else is out there just piecemealing. So when we tuned in and I found out there was no Trent Williams or Ricky Pearsall, I was like, well, that's par for the course. And you're like, well, they'll find a way to win. And then you saw Seattle's defense and wait, no, they won't.
So this is the 4th time the Seahawks have been the number one seed. They have made the Super Bowl the previous 3 times.
Oh.
Just want to let you know that.
Yeah.
So they will play, as you know, they play the lowest seed that advances. So we don't know who they're going to play yet.
Yeah, some people don't remember that, but the NFL reseeds.
Yeah, they reseed. So what you have is you have the 7 seed Green Bay going to the 2 seed Chicago. Mm-hmm. You have the 6 seed Niners going to the 3 seed Eagles, and you have the 5 seed Rams playing at the 4 seed Panthers.
Yeah.
So if the Packers win, they are coming to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
If they do not win, you're probably getting the Rams.
The Rams, which will be an awesome game.
Because no one has any faith that the Niners can beat Philly in Philly.
No.
So if you just look at it that way, the probability is you kind of want to root for Green Bay,
sure,
or else you're getting a rematch with the Rams, which, yes, that would be be amazing.
And this is the thing about Seattle. It's as good as Seattle is, and I get why everyone up in Seattle right now is giving each other, you know, can't say that. While they're slapping everyone on the back. Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
What?
Nothing.
What?
Well, you threw me off course. Just
I realized I was like, I can't. The analogy that I use there in my everyday
life.
Well,
why are they? So you're saying they're kind of over their skis,
yes,
up there?
They are over their skis. Okay. It is. We're back to the. No one can beat us. We are invincible.
Yeah, that's.
And then you're like,
easy.
The Rams had you dead to rights, and I mean dead to rights. And granted, this is what the Rams do. I have zero faith in the Rams because they gack away games like no one else. But Seattle right now is, you can make the argument Seattle's the most complete team in football. I get it, point differential. This defense has a Super Bowl look, and the offense has been better than advertised going into the year. I get all that. That being said, I want nothing to do with the Rams. That is the one team in this field that I am not super jazzed to play. And if you do play a Philadelphia team, that's the sort of game that can scare the lights out of me, because that's got 13-10, 17-13 written all over it. And when you play those close games, you get fluky things. See Ravens, Steelers.
And also, to your point, you talked about this before, like, who's good in the NFC?
I don't know if anyone
right
is.
And so it's like Seattle's the best of all the good teams, not great teams, because everyone else you can poke holes in. Well, like the Panthers, no. Rams, as you said, can't necessarily trust them. Eagles have struggled offensively all year. The Niners are always hurt. The Bears, no thank you. And the Packers are hurt as well. So who's there?
I would actually say the same of the AFC.
Right.
I think that's where we're at this year.
It's
so
weird.
This thing is wide open.
Yeah.
Absolutely wide open.
That's why it sucks for the Ravens that they couldn't get it done this year. Like, this is their year to do it.
Yeah. Well, it's like, and a little bit with the Bills. Like, this is not a great version of the Bills. If you would have given me the Bills teams from the last couple of years, I think that's a Super Bowl team. This year, I don't know what to make of it. In fact, if you stripped away, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but if you stripped away all of the branding of everybody, right? And you just looked at resume and you looked at the way they're playing right now. You know who I kind of dig?
Jacksonville. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They look good, man.
Like, what?
Yeah.
What world are we living in when you're going in and you're like, who do you trust around and who do you like? And you're like, Jacksonville.
As long as Trevor Lawrence doesn't throw 7 interceptions in a game, they're really good.
Yeah, they are.
I can't bring myself.
I'm gonna one up you. I think Jacksonville's more legit than New England.
The Jags and Houston are the best teams in the AFC.
I think that's right. The Patriots, look at the Patriots. I want you to slowly read the Patriots schedule.
I think I saw this today.
I want you to slowly read it.
But to your point.
Slowly. Well, he always goes way too fast and you can't keep up.
I think I heard this today. I believe that the Raiders, who just fired Pete Carroll,
oh, no.
I believe the Raiders and the Patriots have the same number of wins over teams above 500.
Yes, and the answer, by the way, is one.
One.
They've only beaten one. So what? Hold on.
The Raiders beat the Pats. So
yeah,
that's all you need to know.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Week one, the Raiders took them down.
The Raiders should be in the playoffs. All right.
Bring back Chip Kelly.
What is that? What's that property they call it? Transitive property. Yeah, transitive property. Yeah, the Raiders, man.
Okay.
Number one seed. Yeah.
We'll get to the AFC side of the bracket next on The Fan.